I know that there are a lot of things in life we don't understand, but I'm telling you, we've got a faithful God. Isaiah tonight, chapter 9. We got pulled pork back there, something else going. I just got the report, the main attraction, pulled pork. So we'll do what we can to preach and get out of the way. But I'm a grateful fellow. I am so thankful that the Lord has chosen to help me and help my wife and our children the way that he has. He's been faithful to the Paytons, and I can't complain. And so I'm just grateful. And the song, you know, we sung about us being willing, being molded to what God wants us to do. Sister Valine sung that song. Really, do we have an option? I mean, as good as the Lord and as faithful as the Lord's been to us, do we really have an option but to just do and be what he'd have for us to be? Can we even entertain the idea of being so ungrateful? Amen. Can we even possess such evil in a heart that we would be willing to withhold from the Lord? Amen. I want to be willing. Amen. Isaiah chapter 9. It's a timely little verse here for this time of year. Feel like going this way. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Let's ask for the Lord's help tonight. Father, thank you for your people. Thank you for this great crowd that's here. I pray that you'll speak to us, Lord. Faith cometh by hearing the word of God. Increase our faith. Help us to understand how intimately you are involved in our lives every day. And give us that comfort and confirmation. And we're going to thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you say amen? Amen. You know, times change and politics change. I mean, when I was growing up, most church people, a lot of church people, were Democrats. Yeah, I know you're shaking your head. Can't believe it. Nothing else I'm going to say is going to register. You're going to be pondering that the rest of the sermon. But I remember that. And probably, Brother Paul, probably abortion probably changed that in 70, probably changed, you know. But we were, you know, middle-class people, blue-collar employee people. And I remember, well, this ain't nothing spiritual, but I remember we went and preached for a fella that he was a pastor of a church. And we were sitting in his living room, and he got to telling us how that he ran on the Democrat ticket and won a little county office. And my children looked at him like he was the Antichrist. I'll never forget it. If I lived to be 100, I thought, well, I'm going to have some explaining to do later. But then I read verse 7. It talks about the increase of his government not having an end. I thought, I don't know. That's kind of what makes me nervous. Some of you will get that later. But his name. You know, if a man had a perfect heart, I wouldn't mind if he ran everything. If a man was sinless, I wouldn't mind if he just took over the whole shooting match. As a matter of fact, in the millennial reign, that's exactly what he's going to do. I hope you believe in that, because you're going to be there whether you believe in it or not. And you know, I would love and I'm looking forward to seeing how the Lord is going to show up all these skeptics and think tanks on how it could have been if they hadn't been so corrupt. Amen. Now, but here we find Isaiah's prophecy, and he's telling us that something is going to happen. And we commemorate it this time of year. You know, December 25th probably wasn't when he was born. And, you know, probably more like late fall, harvest time somewhere in that area, as far as what we can tell. But I'm thankful that we get to celebrate it. It's the time of year that the stores play guitar music for a change, amen, instead of all that stuff you can't understand the words to. And you know, I'm thankful for that. But thank God he was born. Somebody say amen. Yes, he was. And the writer says that he's going to be given some names. Now, these names really specify some characteristics that is going to be exhibited by this child. Say amen. And one of his names is going to be Wonderful. And we may talk about that later. But the one I want to focus on, if the Lord will help me, I want to talk about that second name, that name that has become so precious to me, that name that as the years have rolled on, I realize what an impact it has had upon my experience. The Bible says he shall be called Counselor. Amen. You see, that word means guide. It means instructor. We talked last night about the importance of a guide and having direction. It also means a teacher. Amen. You see, brother and sister, you and I have been given a great privilege, and it is to sit under the instruction of this child. Come on, go with me here. You see, it is an act of love for someone to bestow a good work upon us, to take something and make it for us, or to build something for us. I remember when we had our first grandchild, Stephen's oldest, little Abigail. She made me a grandpa and made my dad a great grandpa. And so great grandpa got excited, and he's going to build her a toy box, and he did. He made a pretty one, and I don't know about Ivanka and her children. I don't know about the rest of the trumpets, but the fact is that I have something. My grandbaby's got something I don't think they have. You see, my grandbaby has a $10,000 toy box. Amen. Yeah. Now the wood and the actual worth of it, probably, you know, $50 or $80. But by the time he got his surgery from where he cut himself on the saw and got it put back together, and the time he missed off work and all the things that he went through, definitely, I asked him, just confirmed the story just a few weeks ago, and he said at least $10,000. Amen. And I'm telling you, she's 8 years old now, almost nine, and when she has children, she better still have that toy box. That's all I got to say. Somebody say amen. If it gets in the garage sale, it's going to be some problems. Some people are creative. I'm not creative. I can't draw stick people. My wife is creative. She can paint, and she gives gifts, but somebody to build or create something. The appreciation that we feel is tremendous. That act of love, that selflessness at a time, the sacrifice of their talent and crowding their calendar so that they could do this for us. We walk away with the gift. Yes, we do. And we feel rich for that, don't we? And yet, he who is the richest of all, it's not the one who has the gift, but the one who has the ability to create. The receiver is blessed with the gift of that creative talent, and yet the one gift is all they have to enjoy. But the creator, he or she leaves with the ability to create again and again that which men esteem and crowds embrace. The receiver is in possession of the fruit, but the giver is in possession of the tree. Somebody say amen. Go back in time to the greatest composers of the world. Bach, Beethoven, and Brahms is sitting their concerts. Take the choicest seat in the house. Listen to the strains and listen to the sounds of their greatest works. And yet when you walk away, you possess only a memory, a fleeting thought of what gift had it been to experience for a moment the creative genius of a master. But listen to me, church, how much greater a gift it would be if the master pastor became a mentor, if the Creator became a counselor, what if somebody skilled in the area of your greatest passion decided as an act of love to bring you in, to open the mystery and unlock the secret of the creating and not just the creation? His name shall be called Counselor. The one destined by God to bring you and I in to the very secrets and ways of God and to show us how to please the Father. What if Bach became our teacher? What if Beethoven became our master and our mentor? What would we have? But songs, they fade and are forgotten. Even the greatest of creations lose some value with time. But what if someone could help us? And not the things of temporal life, but what if somebody could help us in the things of forever? What if somebody decided to teach us how to please God? I ought to give someone that great gift, the creating, the molding of it, that greatest gift, but the highest teaching of all would be instruction in things that do not pass away. Oh God, what a gift Jesus gave when he gave himself to purchase my salvation. And through his obedience, he obtained, for those who were disobedient, he obtained salvation. No, I'm telling you, all I had to do, my only duty was simply to receive it. That's all I had to do. My obligation, my effort was simply to submit. Oh, wonderful Savior. No wonder Isaiah cried out, "You'll know him and recognize him first, and you'll exclaim, wonderful." We've written songs. Isn't he wonderful? Wonderful. Wonderful. Isn't Jesus my Lord? Wonderful. Oh, I'm so thankful he saved me. I got saved in a church that didn't preach what we preach. They were very anti-holiness. And I'll be honest with you, growing up, don't get offended at me, but everybody I ever ran to growing up, the record was perfect. Every holiness person I knew was a crackpot. Don't look guilty. Our church split, and it was the holiness people that split it. We had an insurrection against the preacher, and it was the holiness people that did it. And one night, the pastor was gone, and somebody came that you know, it's obvious our church was liberal. I'm telling you, it looked like we'd lost a paintball fight. And they got up and carried on, and they tried to preach holiness, and then they got into some crazy stuff about outer space and UFO. I'm talking about bona fide crackpots. I didn't know whether it was Don Rich or Art Bell. I didn't know. But I got saved when I was 17, heading into my senior year of high school. And Brother Kelsey, I got really saved. I mean, I got really saved. That's why I don't pick on folks. Wherever they're at and they get saved, if it's a Baptist church, Methodist, Lutheran, as soon as they sober up, I hope to get saved. Wherever the Lord finds us, it's a wonderful thing. But I got to reading the book, and I got to realizing there's a bunch of stuff in here They're not teaching us. I got to realize. And you know what it was? It was that counselor. It was that man, that child, that God who like nobody else had pleased the Father, and now he was teaching me. It wasn't, he was not content just to continually subsidize my sinful behavior. No, but he wanted me to close that business down, that manufacturing of idols that was in my heart. He wanted to shut the operation down, and he taught me faithfully. Yes, he did. I'm preaching to you tonight that we got somebody if we'll listen. We got somebody if we care to hear. We got somebody that if we'll just take heart, there is a teacher who walks among us, and he will let me know how to please the Father. Can somebody say amen? Lift your hands and ask God to help this foolish preacher. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. They have turned unto me the back. Jeremiah is recording the words of Jesus, and not the face. Though I taught them, rising up early and teaching them. Brother and sister, the Lord is so committed. I remember Stephen, who's 31 now. It's hard to believe. I think I was probably 12 or 13 when he was born. I can't remember exactly. But he went to kindergarten, had perfect attendance that year, except for one day, they wanted him to dress up for Halloween. So he had perfect attendance minus one because he wasn't going to participate in that. Now, if you participate in that, then I guess you have perfect attendance. I don't know. But amen. We decided we was going to homeschool him. Here he is, 6 years, going to be six, and we're going to tackle homeschooling. Any homeschoolers in the group? Yeah, I can tell you, checks are spelled wrong. We'll know later who it was. So, yeah, yeah. We got up. I worked in the insurance office, and so I had to open the office at 9. So that poor guy, we got up at 5:30, just me and him, little six-year-old boy. We got up, boy, I was regulation. We got up, we did the pledge, we did a prayer, we had our devotion, and we got hooked on phonics. That's exactly where we started. By 7:30, 8 o'clock, 8:30, we were pretty well done for the day. But the fact is, it taught him a lesson. This is so important to my parents. That they're going to get up early. This is so important to them, and it's such a critical thing for me. Even in his little mind, he knew it didn't just roll on through the day and halfway thought we'd get it tomorrow. But we got up early, and we got her done. Brother, that's the way the Lord is telling these people here in Jeremiah. He said, I rose early. And I rose early because I had some things to teach you. What was the result of them missing the lesson? They were slaughtered. Their capital was destroyed. They went into great bondage. They suffered many, many consequences because they refused the help of a teacher. Somebody say amen. Brother, I want to tell you something. We've got a God who's so faithful. We've got a Savior who not only will cleanse us, but He'll teach us how to stay out of the mud. Somebody say amen. Exodus, now therefore go. He's telling Moses, he's telling his man this. And I will be thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. We went to Little Rock in 03 and started the church there. And I'd only pastored one other church, and it was only for 100 days. And that's all I could take. I got out of there. I'm glad we didn't throw all the banana boxes away because I was getting out of there in a hurry. And I told my wife, I said, I wish I'd have a business meeting so I could vote against myself and get out of here. Yeah, People are crazy. Do you know that? They're crazy. We went there to start that church. And I was just honest before the Lord. I said, I don't know anything about pastoring people. Evangelizing is awesome, brother. I don't know why everybody wouldn't want to do it. I'm telling you, it's like living in a carnival. It's cotton candy and it's popcorn all the time. And you make people mad, and then you really get them by just showing them your taillights. God's so good. Yeah. I said, Lord, I don't know anything. I don't know anything about pastoring these people. We had one family join us, Brother Paul, and then we had a few, and we got up to 30 or 40 or so. If we hit 40, we felt like we were going to have a nosebleed. We were so high. I don't know anything about this, but I heard the words that he told Moses, I'm going to teach you. I'm going to teach you. In prayer one day, he led me to just two targets. He said, I want you to preach my design. You know, the Bible's got his design on anything that matters. Anything that pertains to life or godliness, the Bible claims it's in there. Did you know that? Yeah, you got one of them at home? Y'all just look it up. Anything that pertains to life and godliness, the Bible claims that it's in this book. He said, I want you to preach my design. Tell people what I think about the issues of life. But a lot of times they're not going to listen. They're not going to heed. And that's always going to end up with consequences when they don't listen. And they're going to end in disaster. So preach my design, but then help people deal with the disaster. You know, that's much of what pastoring is. That's what much of what ministry is filling, helping people fill in that gap between what God tried to tell them and what they were willing to hear. It don't work out when we don't listen. That's why it's so, so, so wonderful that he came as a counselor. Somebody say amen. There have been times I've been so perplexed. And the only one that I could unashamedly go to was that great counselor. And he helped me. Somebody say amen. Oh, thank God. Lead me in thy truth, the psalmist said, and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. Amen. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way thou shalt go, and I will guide thee with mine eye. Jesus came in the flesh. He came from the, as Brother Paul mentioned, he came from the celestial to the terrestrial. Here he came. And what did he come doing? The Bible says in Matthew 4:23, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching. Amen. Paul wrote to Titus and said, the grace of God. Oh, thank God for grace. The grace of God. There's all kinds of graces. There's several types of grace in the Bible. And this grace brings salvation. So it's the grace. Amen. There's an empowerment grace that helps us do the will of God. For it is God who worketh in us both to will and to do his good pleasure. But this grace brings salvation. And the Bible says that this grace, it's appeared unto all men. Amen. There's not going to be any excuses in judgment. Not going to be any this or that because of the fact that this grace has appeared to all men. Amen. And when this grace appears, what's it going to do? Is it going to perform miracles? No. Is it going to raise the dead? No. Is it going to heal the leper, part the sea, turn the sun back? No. When this grace appears, this faithful grace is going to teach us, amen, that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Brother, I'm telling you, we've got a faithful teacher. We've got a faithful guide. We've got a faithful instructor. And thank God, it is nothing but grace. God trying to spare us heartache. God trying to keep us from bad consequence. Oh, I'm telling you, brother, we ought to be more shouting happy over the fact that when he came, he was wonderful. But he also came to teach me. He taught my hands not to war, but he taught my hands to do the works of God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Oh God, teaching them. This quote I like. I'm not going to preach much longer, Lord. Come on. A mediocre teacher tells, a good teacher explains, a superior teacher demonstrates, but a great teacher inspires. Jesus came and his grace has appeared and he has inspired me to want to please the Father. He has inspired me. Somebody say amen. Thank God for his unspeakable gift of salvation. But thank God it's not only the gift that he gave, but it's the teaching that he still does. Hearken to me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am he, and I am the first, and I also am the last. Mine hand hath laid the foundations of the earth, and my right hand hath spanned the heavens. And when I called upon them, they stood up together. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. I'm telling you, there's a lot in life that we've not experienced yet, so many things, but doesn't it give you great comfort in knowing that we've got a great teacher? I've got a lot of things that we've learned in raising children and now praying for grandchildren to live holy in this life. But I'm telling you, there's things ahead of us that I've not faced. Some of you know I had heart surgery in July and I hadn't gone through that. I never had, you know, and I really thought, that I had used my heart so little that it'd probably be in pretty good shape, but I guess I was wrong. But I've never gone through that. And you know, I'm not looking for a church. I might be looking for a new trailer. But the one thing I hate about pastoring, hated it. I'd rather take a whipping. I hated hospital visiting. That place is full of germs. Did you know that? They got sick people in there. I hate hospital visiting, but I'm going to tell you, brother, laying in there in pain, staring at the ceiling, it puts a whole new light on things. The Lord taught me some things sitting there. Somebody say amen. The teacher is always teaching. I said, there's things about growing older. I'm learning. In my mind, I'm still 25. And I can really, honestly, not bragging or boasting, but I can do anything I did when I was 25. But it takes me about 4 days to get over it. Yeah. And so what I'm doing hasn't stopped. It's just the recovery time's getting longer and longer. So I'm going to get to the place where I'm scheduling about one thing a month. Have you ever taken the time to read through the book of the promises that God has made to those who are aged or are weak? the promises he's made, I'm going to be there. I'm going to make your bed. I'm going to be there for you. It doesn't matter what we're going through. We're going to have, amen, we're going to have a good teacher. Years ago, we lost my grandfather. He'd suffered with Alzheimer's for years. Didn't know us, didn't know his wife. You know the sadness of that disease. And it was, he had such a great mind, and for him to lose it, what a sad thing it was. But even in that, when he would pray and the Holy Ghost would come on him, he remembered names, and his prayer requests were as up to date as they ever were. And even in that, the Lord was teaching us. The Lord was teaching us. Where are you at tonight? Is your classroom dark? Has it seemed like that it's been a while since you've had a clear direction? I come to tell you, this teacher, he's still teaching. Somebody say amen. His classroom is the universe. His schedule reads eternity. His credentials read omniscience. His major is in mercy with a minor in grace. Somebody say amen. There's no name on his college diploma for every institute of any reputation, whether Harvard or Yale or Princeton or Providence, received their own credibility only when they recognized him as the source and substance of all wisdom. He's never submitted a paper for peer review because there's never been one to review it. There's never been a substitute called in to fill his classroom. He's never went on strike for more pay. For Jesus says, my Father worketh and I work. Amen. He doesn't have to sit through continuing ed classes because he founded wisdom and is the reason that education even goes on. The Bible's not been removed from his classroom. It is his classroom. His campus isn't underfunded, nor is it dependent upon the next levy to pass. At his university, it's praise, not pep, salvation, not sports, fidelity, not fraternity. Every student, every day is teacher-student conference. Amen. When the student comes by the office to settle up their bill, they're told, hey, Jesus paid it all to him you owe. And though millions have come, the student teacher ratio is always 1-to-1. Can somebody say amen? And I echo like the words of Job, behold, God exalteth by his power who teacheth like him. I'm telling you, brother, I've reaped the harvest of the lessons I've learned. I've reaped the blessings of following his ways. I know there have been times the lessons, they've been so hard and it seemed like I'd never get it right. But there, suddenly God came by and he guided me to the truth. He's been always trying to show me. And I'm telling you, brother, I'm reaping harvest. My barns are full. I know that there are so many things that I've been spared. 10,000 prayer requests, 10,000 tears that have not been shed because he was faithful to show me, faithful to teach me, faithful to help me. Somebody say amen. Stand to your feet and let's just worship the counselor. Say amen. Woo! Yes. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God. When they started teaching me holiness, it made me mad. Anybody else been there? You don't know how many exits a building's got till you're mad at the preacher. Then you find one. I ain't shaking that rascal's hand. He was preaching right at me. to the old chuck and jive and you get out the side door. Yeah. But one saving grace in the midst of the turmoil and the contention, while the lessons seemed like they were choking me. But Kelsey, I kept praying. And finally in prayer, it dawned on me that this is how to please the Father. And I had a decision to make. I was either going to pass this lesson and please God, or I was going to be a hypocrite to what I now knew to be the truth. And brother and sister, I lost that battle, but I passed that lesson and I won the war. I planted the first harvest of holiness in our lives. Got rid of our television. Got me a good, clean, easy things. My family found out we threw our TV in the dumpster. They thought it broke. They're trying to buy me another one. They haven't offered to buy me something expensive since then. Just aggravating. I said, we didn't throw it out because it was broke. We threw it out because we're trying to do a few. My children have never lived in a home where there was a TV. Now, we just spent a lot of time at Walmart. I'm just kidding. I planted the first harvest by faith, Brother Paul. They told me, this is the seed. If you'll put it in the ground, you won't regret it. Sure, the pressure came. But the teacher was right there with me. So we bear that precious seed. And just like the book said, we've come rejoicing. Now it's been harvest after harvest after. We honestly, there's not even a lot of speculation involved because we've seen it work so many times. Our children in the ministry, serving God. Our grandchildren now singing in church. I'm telling you, it just goes on and on. But I never forget that time of learning the lesson. Are you struggling with something? Sister Valine sung. We got to be willing for the Lord just to, here I am. Whatever it is you want me to do. But I sure don't want to miss the lesson. I don't want to miss the lesson. Young person, are you on the outside looking in? Are you that person that's questioning? There's nothing wrong with putting it to the test. But just make sure you're honestly answering the questions that's being asked. Somebody say amen. We're going to have an altar call. I preach my heart to you. I'm telling you, tomorrow he's going to be teaching us. And next week, and next month, and next year. We were devastated when we got Mr. Obama as president. We were. I didn't vote for him. If you did, here's the altar. But you know what? Through those 8 years, the Lord taught us some things. It's not what I would have chosen, but he taught us some things. You see, it's not in the king. It's the teacher. I don't know what we're going to face from here to there, but I do know this. He's going to teach us. Amen. Young people, would you give me the honor of leading the way into this altar? And by you coming, you're saying, I don't know what the Lord's going to teach me, but I'm willing to listen. I'm willing. Come on, young people. Come on. 25 and under, come on. And let's fill this altar, and then we're going to come in behind you. Come on. Come on. Come on. I want to please the Lord. I want to please the Lord. I want to serve God. There's so much I don't know. So many things I've got to learn. But I can say this. I want to know. Mom and Dad, come on. remember, much of their lessons are going to be from you. And we don't want to contradict a teacher, do we? We don't want to give mixed signals, do we? But we want to be that our lives are supplements to what the teacher's saying. Come on, let's believe God. Come on, church, let's have a good altar and just rededicate ourselves again. Let's re-enroll. What do you say? Let's re-enroll and say, God, whatever it is you want me to know, whatever it is you want me to do, I want to be